All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Oh, hit it 239 with 8 home runs and 30 runs batted in. Well hit fly ball deep to right field. Forget it, it's going to go. There it goes. Home run.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Boys on the right bay.
Not that mad.
Crack there, you got it. Hope you were listening. It doesn't happen often. That's how excited I was on a Sunday. That's how little sleep I had. That's how excited I am on this Sunday. We got unbelievable, I don't even know what to say, 888-808-1019. We got teams saving their seasons. We've got seasons on the brink of the postseason. It's all coming together. Pennant race baseball is fun. NFL football was fun. It was fun to be a Giant fan for a day. And we're going to start there. We'll get to the Mets and their incredible weekend against the Phillies and what lines up for a three-game set against the Braves where it's going to be everything we thought it would be. And I know it's going to make you nervous. And I know heading in the stress of what has been with the Atlanta Braves. But this is the weekend you want. This is what you want. And what you want to see from the Giants just once, was a good, well-played football game. And more than that, and it was, for the most part. Because really, you know, this game obviously gets off to a start where immediately, head in hand, what the hell was I thinking? How did I pick them again? How did I work myself into actually believing they can compete with another team in the NFL? How stupid am I? That's how the game started. You all felt it. You know it. The fumble on the kick return, right? They ran two plays. The kick return fumbled, recovered by Cleveland. First play, Cleveland, Cooper in the touchdown. And it's just like, well, I don't even need to watch this. I know exactly how this game is going. Then the Giants go three and out on their first possession. And you know exactly where this game is going. And we talked about it, the defense of Cleveland at home in that building. And then here we go. Not only they're mistake prone, they do nothing in the first drive. And then the game kind of turned. And you know where the game kind of turned for me, obviously? They get the ball back. And on the first play of their second possession, Daniel Jones throws an interception. And it's negated by a hit to the head and a roughing the passer. And it felt like, for whatever reason, in that moment, and this is where I'm going to talk, because we're going to talk about Neighbors and how incredible he is. I'm going to get into it right now. And we all know it, being able to watch a player like this, it's been a long time, at least at the wide receiver position. We know how talented Barkley has been. But to see someone dominate like this, and we're going to get into the difference on what he has done for Daniel Jones in this offense versus what Barkley does for this offense. And what a running back could do for this offense. But for me, a lot of this, and I think it was a great day for the head coach. Because as we've seen with this team over the last year and a half, when you go back to the first year of Brian Daboll, right? There's been a lot of conversation about coaching scared and the aggressiveness that he did and the two-point conversion and all that. And that's part of it too. And we saw a fourth down conversion in this game in the first half that helped lead to a touchdown. So we saw some of that too. But it wasn't just that. It was also how well coached they looked, how prepared they looked, and how unfazed they were by mistakes, and how late in the game they were the ones making plays, right? They come from behind and beat Baltimore by 10. They come from behind and they beat Green Bay by 10. This team was well coached. It didn't make that many mistakes, but they were undeterred by bad play, and big plays were made, and games were won. And in this game, to have that fumble, to have that touchdown, to have the interception wiped away, and from that moment on, the play calling, the steadiness, they were flat out better than the Cleveland Browns from that moment on. And I thought Brian Daboll had a tremendous day. Obviously getting neighbors involved as much as he does. On that fourth down, he ends the run around. They're handing the ball. Hell, he threw a pass in this game. They are going to use neighbors in every way, shape, and form that they can. And then obviously you get to the coaching staff and Bowen, the defensive coordinator, and flipping the script after watching him get beat by 1,000 cuts against Washington. And understanding that he's kind of got a vanilla game plan. He wants to rush with just four. He's going to sit back and cover. And you watch the Washington Commanders be able, without really converting on pass plays, but just somehow, whether it would be penalties or scrambles or the occasional third down pass. But for the most part, it just in any way, shape, or form, they were going to get down the field. You couldn't continue to take this defense and not try and pressure an offense in the Cleveland Browns that continued to lose offensive linemen as they went forth in the game. Went in with injuries, came out with more. Deshaun Watson's awful and especially awful under pressure. And so to change the game plan, to come into this game with an offensive game plan, a defensive game plan, steady the ship after the game started as badly as it possibly could have. I thought that was a great game for Daboll. I thought it was a stabilizing game for this coach. It made me feel a hell of a lot better about where this team was. Because you know what? Over the last year and now 3 weeks, this team typically folds after the start of this game. You know exactly where it's going, and instead, they put their foot in the ground and give it to this quarterback, too. Well, yes, of course, I get on a ton. And I don't know if he played as well as everybody's perceived he's playing well. That interception does get taken away. I thought he missed some throws, including some in the end zone. Doesn't matter. He played very, very well in this game. He made the throws he needed to make. I think we can just forget about the knee injury, other than, you know, he's prone to injury because of the way he plays and the neck injury. The knee, I think, is no longer a concern. You watch him run. You watch him play. I don't think he worries about it. I don't think we should be worried about it. We've moved on from the knee injury. I think he's going to be mobile, and he's going to be able to play with the same athletic ability that is really the biggest strength of his game. But the main takeaway for me are twofold. One, the coach and the ability he showed to instill confidence in this group. The defensive coordinator and how he was able to change his game plan and how he normally coaches and go out there and pursue and blitz. And then obviously Burns and Thibodeau and what they were able to do and actually get home a little bit. Dexter Lawrence is one of, if not the best tackle in the sport. Him and Chris Jones in Kansas City. He was causing havoc. They got 8 sacks in this game. They were creating pressure. They were bringing pressure. The defense looked much better. Now, again, I think Cleveland's terrible, and they have no offensive line. But still, that was a good defensive game plan. It was a good offensive game plan. And they were able to steady the ship after a miserable start. And now we get to the unbelievable playmaker that Neighbors is. And we know, coming out of the draft, that we expected him to be a talented wide receiver. And I've said this before, the draft is always a crapshoot. I think you could probably, looking especially at the last handful of drafts, stud wide receivers coming out of college, top of the draft, excellent, just no doubt about it. You're taking them if you can get your hands on them. Stud wide receiver coming out of the draft is about as good a lock or about you could feel as comfortable taking that player as any position in the NFL. But I don't know if any of us thought he would be this dynamic. And if you said you did, congratulations. I'm not so sure you believed it. But what we are seeing from this kid, his ability, I mean, the play where he literally rips the ball out of the defender's hand as he's behind him and goes over his back to do so and keep his feet in. Whether it's the unbelievable catch in the end zone where it seems like he jumped 10 feet in the air because Daniel Jones overthrew him. But just an incredible catch. And what I love about it, is you're seeing right now with Daniel Jones, and we talked about all the things. Like, this is one of the conversations I've been so tired in having, and finally I think we are getting some sort of answer on. All of the things that Daniel Jones didn't have, all of the things that Daniel Jones was not given by this organization, all of the failings that this organization has made for Daniel Jones, and that's all true. They have done a miserable job developing this kid, giving him an offensive line, giving him weapons around him, all the different stuff we talk about. Oh, he could use a tight end with size. Oh, he could use this. He could use a number one wide receiver on the outside. He could use a running back. What's going to happen to Daniel Jones without Saquon Barkley? Well, we're finding out right now, unequivocally, right? The offensive line's been better. That's fine. The offensive line has been better. But Daniel Jones needed a stud outside number one wide receiver, and his impact on this offense, and not to, you know, defend Joe Shane or relitigate the Saquon Barkley thing. I feel like I did that last week when Saquon Barkley dropped the pass. I think we all know, at least, you know, for me, we could argue about it again if you'd like at 888-808-1019. The contract didn't make sense for this team. And I've said it over and over again. If your best player is a running back, your team's not good enough to win. And as great as Saquon Barkley was, and as dynamic as he could be, although we know we've talked about the drop passes recently, as dynamic as he could be in the pass game, and as much as he was a home run hitter, at any moment he could break one, as he did yesterday for the Eagles. At any moment, he could break one for 60, 70 yards. And right now, that's going to be, you could see clearly, Singletary, if he could hold on to the freaking football, is not that kind of player. He's not going to make game-breaking plays. I think you could still have a run game, but you're not going to have your dynamic player from the running back position. Having the dynamic player be Malik Nabers, having the wide receiver be the dynamic player of the offense, someone you can run end-arounds with, someone you can run wildcat with, or you know, whatever with. Like, all the different elements that he can be incorporated into are going to help Daniel Jones and this offense far more than any running back could. And I know we like to talk about the offensive line. You need a competent offensive line. You can't have the worst, second worst. You can't have one of the worst offensive lines consistently year in and year out. But I think you're even seeing now that this type of player, a guy who can run the routes, get the separation, and when he doesn't get the separation, make a play on 50-50 and have someone that Daniel Jones can trust to just know, this is when I'm supposed to throw it, this is where I'm supposed to throw it, and he will make a play. Perfect example is you saw in the third quarter, he misses Nabers on a play where Nabers is in the slot, makes one move, beats his defender, is about three steps behind him. Daniel Jones misses him. Okay, I'm not here to kill Daniel Jones on it. He goes right back to it. They call it again. He throws it again. It's an incomplete pass, but it's something we haven't seen from Daniel Jones. The ability to just have a belief. Daniel Jones, even when he was winning a couple years ago, Daniel Jones didn't have the confidence to make plays like that. Daniel Jones didn't want to put the ball in anyone else's vicinity of possibly throwing a pick, right? It was no interceptions, no turnovers. That's how we're going to win. Mistake-free football. And I think it's been, as much as it was a positive that year, I think ultimately it's hurt him because he's unwilling to go down the field. Last year, particularly, unwilling to go down the field. And now he has a player, and I guess they were talking about it, throw it to Nabers. It's either going to be, either Nabers is going to get it or no one's going to get it, right? Put the ball in a position where either Nabers can make a great play or nobody gets it. And that instant trust and the compatibility you're seeing already 3 weeks in is so important to this offense, so important to Daniel Jones, someone he doesn't have to think. Right? Because we've all Daniel Jones, and I hopefully this will continue to get better or progress as he gets more involved in the offense. But let's be honest. 6 years in, Daniel Jones has a tough time going through progressions. Daniel Jones can overthink things. We've seen paralysis by analysis over and over with this quarterback. And to have someone as talented as this kid who looks like is as dynamic a wide receiver, 8 receptions, 78 yards, 2 touchdowns, 10 receptions in the game last week. To have this many receptions, this many touchdown passes within your first three games in the NFL, I believe it's the best ever. I mean, he has come onto the NFL field and immediately stepped in to be one of the best wide receivers in the game. Immediately. And he doesn't have Aaron Rodgers, and he doesn't have a Hall of Fame quarterback. He's got Daniel Jones. And for right now, it's good enough because for once in Daniel Jones' career, for once, he's got someone where there's no thought process. I have a player who will beat the guy in front of him, and if he doesn't, he'll beat him at the point of attack. He'll beat him at the zenith of the ball. He will beat him at the high point. He will make the play. I don't have to think. And that has been, in the last 2 weeks, so obvious. The best weapon and best sidekick, for lack of a better term, or, you know, just best ability for Daniel Jones to function inside this offense. Having that staple of someone who is unworldly, you can see it. It jumps off the page. You watch the games. The guy is incredible. And to have that kind of player, you know, Odell was already, Eli Manning had won Super Bowls. Like, Eli Manning had won Super Bowls. He was a great quarterback already. It clearly took the offense to another level and made the offense easy and gave explosive plays in the 5-yard slant went 75 yards. And we haven't seen that kind of dynamic play from Neighbors, but what we see is a guy whose routes get him open, who has the ability to jump through the roof, and who can make the 50-50 ball and can make decisions easy for Daniel Jones. And this game, there's a lot to get to, right? There's a lot to get to. We could talk about overcoming the adversity of the fumble as they're about to, you know, in the second half, they get the ball back after kicking it off. They get a stop on defense. They get the ball back. They're driving, about to put that 4th touchdown in there. They get the fumble. And then from that moment on, I didn't love the way the game was coached in the second half or the way the game was played in the second half offensively. I thought the Giants took their foot off the pedal, but they recognized what their defense was doing to Watson and the Browns. And they recognized that that game plan that admittedly from Watson and the Cleveland Browns were taken aback and surprised with how much pressure the Giants were bringing. The Giants defensively were smothering them. And offensively, after taking the 3-score lead, or the 2-score lead rather, excuse me, the Giants didn't want to make that mistake and played a little scared in the second half. I didn't love it, but I understood the thought process. And it was good enough to win, even though they had some scary moments. And let's be honest, that last play of the game, I don't know how the hell that ball's not caught. You know, Watson put it right on. And it was a scary moment. And everyone else were worried the Giants were going to play better than the Browns, be the more competent team, and find a way to lose in the end. Instead, they didn't. They get a great win. They are now 1-2, and looking forward to taking on the 1-2 Dallas Cowboys Thursday. They get to no wait, no bye week. See you in 4 days. Try and get right back in there. Keep the rhythm going. And this offense, for the first time since the last game of the season, 2 years ago with the Colts, and then the playoff game against Minnesota, have put together 2 pretty damn good offensive performances. And this quarterback has put together 2 pretty damn good performances and games where he's thrown multiple touchdown passes in a row. And that hasn't happened in a long time. The impact that Neighbors has on this team is dramatic, remarkable, and different than even Saquon Barkley, different than anything we've seen for Daniel Jones. They've never improved the offensive line. It's gotten to a point where it's okay. They had the star running back. That was kind of that safety valve for him and somebody he can lean on. And the run game was something he could lean on. And him coming out of the backfield is something he could lean on. It's not the same as having his number one receiver, his number one option, eliminate so much process and just be able to say, I have a great player. I'm going to throw it to him. And that's exactly how this offense should function. Now, look, eventually, defenses are going to focus on stopping Malik Nabers if they haven't already. It's probably going to get more difficult as the season goes on to continue to put up these kind of numbers and focus all of your attention in the pass game to Malik Nabers. But right now, the game plan was excellent. The coach steadied the ship. The defensive coordinator adjusted. You know, so many times we hear about system and you got to play your system. You got to play your system. The coach was willing to forego his system, recognize the failings of it with this roster and what needed to be done. And what needed to be done was more pressure on the quarterback. And man, did they ever do it. So you saw a defensive coach who adjusted after 2 weeks. You saw a head coach and an offensive play caller who completely adjusted and made sure that his quarterback had things easy by going to the great player and getting him involved in every way, shape, and form, and someone who had enough of a temperament over this team and a feel for this team that after the fumble, after the touchdown, after that pick that was taken back with the penalty, they were able to go down the field, steady this game, and take control of it. And it's been a long time since you felt like the Giants took control of anything. And it was nice to watch. 888-808-1019. So let's talk a little Giants. We're going to get to the Mets and their impressive weekend against Philadelphia and where they are now and how this pitching staff continues to amaze me. And the bullpen last night and the urgency the manager showed in this game and how he managed it. And to do all of this without their MVP, who I hope he plays in the Atlanta series, I have no idea. But what they just did against Philadelphia and how they set themselves up heading into this series against Atlanta, where if they take 2 of 3, they clinch a playoff spot. The Mets have done an incredible job. They've been the best team in baseball since June 1st. And the idea that their pitching is that they went into a game against Wheeler and their starting pitcher was McGill and they scored 2 runs against Wheeler and won the game. It's a remarkable job what this pitching staff is doing right now, and we'll get into it. 888-808-1019. We'll get into the Pete Alonso story, the tipping of the hat, the crowd and how it responded to being called out by Brandon Nimmo, his response, and how he played with the home run that won them the game, or at least gave them the lead, the bullpen, the whole bit, and how they are setting up for a series on Tuesday. Now, unfortunately, or fortunately, the Yankees have made that Baltimore series almost rather unimportant. So we're not going to get that Tuesday night, that Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday of these series that would determine everything. The Yankees already have it determined. But this series against the Mets, against Atlanta, after what happened in 22, what this team and what these two teams have done over the last 20 years, where this is the Mets' nemesis, a team that caught them in this situation 2 years ago when all they needed was 1 win against Atlanta and they couldn't get it. This series on Tuesday is going to be as big a regular season series as I can ever remember in this town. And it's going to be fun. And the Mets put us in that position. And pennant race baseball is fun. Watching Malik Nabers play is fun. Giants victory Monday is fun. So let's get it going. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you until 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. We'll be right back.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Odell Beckham Jr. made the catch with one hand for the touchdown. Wow, what a catch by the rookie.
Ridiculous.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
I'm just watching the highlight now on TV. Another thing, you know, for I know it's not unique, and players and teams are aware of this and know it, but for Singletary to slide down at the one, it's another part of makes me feel better about the way this team is coached. Like, that was a mindful, thoughtful, make sure let's end the game right now, stay in bounds, not score the touchdown. Like, just overall, they played crisp, good football. And to overcome what happened at the beginning of the game was a testament to this head coach who, like, I just got, you know, why don't you give more credit to the quarterback? He's under pressure. Okay, fine. I gave praise to the quarterback last week, and I'll give it to him again. He played great. But the idea that Dable's not under pressure, you're nuts. If this game went the way we all thought it was going to go after that fumble, and this thing starts owing, Daniel Jones is making $40 million this year. Daniel Jones is a quarterback in the NFL. He'll get a job somewhere else. I would think. You think that Brian Dable coaching for his job right now, and who knows if he gets another one? Go be a quarterback's coach somewhere? Like, his job is on the line. And this thing was like 2 minutes away from falling apart after that touchdown, after that fumble. Like, we talk a lot about Daniel Jones. That game was a good game for the coach as well. It was a great game for the quarterback. It was a great game for the head coach. He needed that. He needed to look like he had control of his team. It needed to look like they could overcome adversity. It needed to look like he had an offensive game plan. It needed to look the way it looked. Because if it went the way it was going to go, if it was going to go the way it looked after the first two plays of the game, we'd be talking about an 0-3 team staring at 0-4 in a couple of days against a pissed-off Cowboys team now. Right? Instead, we could say, hey, the Cowboys are struggling. Maybe the Giants have a chance. If they lost this game yesterday to the Browns, you know what we're saying? Now you got a pissed off Cowboys team. That's because that's how things change when you win. That was a huge win. Yes, for the quarterback. Yes, for the coach. 888-808-1019. Jose in Newborough. What's up? Who's Jose?
Hey, man. Up.
What's going on?
Big win. So happy, man. You know, we're going to go into Monday. Finally, I get to post on Facebook about Victory Monday, you know?
Victory Monday.
It's been a long time
since it at least felt like a meaningful victory. There were a couple, you know, the Tommy DeVito game against Green Bay. There's been a couple of victories. They beat the Patriots. They beat the Eagles the last game of the year. But no, this was a meaningful victory. This is a season-saving victory.
We can build on this. Listen, offensive line looking so much, it's looking competent.
Yeah,
we can see Daniel Jones. He looks comfortable. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen Daniel looking comfortable in like three seasons or whatnot. Seems like it. You know, I'm a Daniel Jones believer. I think with a decent offensive line, we can win games. Neighbors, it's all. I don't pay attention to these guys until they're on the field for the first game in NFL.
Right.
And I'm looking at him, and he's special.
Yeah.
He's you can definitely build today's game. You can build an offense around a wide receiver.
Oh, of course you can. Yeah.
It wasn't like that before. And this kid is amazing. Yeah. The way he catches the ball and he turns around and he can just run 5 yards, you know, so fast, like Randy Moss is. Like, you know how Randy Moss used to do it, just bam, just speed. Mm-hmm. The kid's impressive, man. And it's just so refreshing to see. What's up with Jalin Hyatt? Is he out there, man? We wasted a pick on him, or
yeah,
what?
No, I mean, they did take one shot at Hyatt down the field. You didn't hear much of him after that. Wandell Robinson had a couple of nice plays, a couple first downs.
Yeah, Wandell and Slayton, they looking good too.
Yeah, they did try one deep shot. Okay, good.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
You know, it's weird. I feel like I shouldn't complain about Kayvon, but it's like he's almost there, but he's not finishing the stuff. I understand we got him doing stuff, but it's just like
there was pressure in this game. Today wasn't the day to get on Kayvon Thibodeau. I thought there was pressure on this game. Burns obviously has the strip sack fumble. Kayvon Thibodeau got, I don't know if they gave him a sack or half a sack, but he was the reason for at least one sack. You know, he got some pressure. Again, Kayvon Thibodeau has not been ultra impressive to me. I don't want to call him a bust, but he hasn't been worth the pick of where he was taken. He's just a average, you know, fairly good edge rusher who I know had double-digit sacks last year, the first player in Wink Martindale's system to ever have double-digit sacks. I just don't think he impacts the games as much as I'd like. That doesn't mean he's a bust. It doesn't mean he's a bad player. I understand he played the run a lot. He got half a sack in that. Yeah, so he got one half sack in the game. Listen, the pressure on that the Cleveland offense was great. They were in the backfield all game long. They were bringing blitzes. They were getting home without it. Dexter Lawrence pressure up the middle. Burns and Thibodeau on the end. I got no problems with the defense. And that's part of it, too. Bowen had a good game plan. Like, the coaching in this game was far better than it's been. Like, last week, and again, you know, I'm talking about Daniel Jones. Last week, Daniel Jones played well, and they still lost. Like, I'm trying to talk about the difference between last week and this week. Last week, Daniel Jones and the offense still did play fairly well. And they still lost. Why? Because I thought the coaching was scared. I thought the defensive game plan sucked. And I thought those things improved in this game. And I think that had a lot to do with the difference between losing to Washington and beating Cleveland. Daniel Jones played well in both games. And Daniel Jones playing well wasn't good enough. Malik Nabers went off against Washington, too. Now, he dropped the killer pass, and I loved his answer. In the postgame, they asked him if this makes him feel better about the drop pass on fourth down. Is he over that yet? And he goes, I'm still not over it. Or they asked him, when did you get over the drop pass? He said, I'm still not over it. But, I mean, yeah, it's I don't know if I see Randy Moss. Maybe a little bit. Randy Moss was more of just like a straight-up burner. When I think of Randy Moss, I think of those, you know, 4 or 5 feet behind the defense catching these long, you know, high-arcing bomb of touchdown passes. Like, Malik Nabers runs good routes. Malik Nabers, you know, can be lined up in the slot. He can get by a defense. He did in the third quarter. Daniel Jones just missed him. But he can also, that catch on the sidelines, that's brute strength for a young man just coming into the league.
It looks like Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, I mean,
the combination of the body control.
Yeah, I mean, that's the body can be able to get the foot in, you know, get those feet in, make the, you know, even on the touchdown catch. Again, like, and I know I got some flack because I tweeted out. I like to play into you guys. But in that sequence, where that second touchdown, the first Daniel Jones touchdown pass, he's got the tight end wide open in the corner, the back corner of the end zone. He overthrows him. And then he's got Malik Nabers wide open for a touchdown, and Malik has to go 10 feet up in the air to make the catch and then have body control and make sure that second foot came down before his hand came out of came down out of bounds. Like, yeah, I don't know if I see Randy Moss necessarily, but I see one hell of a player. I see a guy who can make, you know, the 50-50 catch, which I think is incredibly important. I see someone who can run every route in the route tree and get open in a myriad of ways. I see a guy they're going to use in the run game. I saw, right, he wildcatting through a pass. Like, he's going to be all over the place. And I love that that's how they're using him. Lined up in the slot for that play I told you about. And I love that they ran the same play back-to-back. Like, they were talking about it on the broadcast. It didn't work, right? They were more ready for it the next time. He didn't get off as well. He didn't get behind the defense. But they can't, there's something about that. It's like, what it said was, and we talked a lot about identity of the New York Giants, right? And in the Hard Knocks, the scouting director, whomever, I always forget his name. I need to go back because the conversation was so important. But he's talking about, well, okay, if we lose Barkley, what's the identity? What's the identity of this team? And what does Joe Shane say? The identity of the team is, we paid Daniel Jones $40 million. We're going to try and improve the offensive line, and we're going to go get him a weapon in the draft. That's the identity of the team. And in the third quarter of this game, after already scoring, after already having two touchdowns and most of his production and already having a monster day and dominating the defense, in the third quarter, they run a play, him in the slot, he beats the defender, he gets down the field, Jones just misses him, and they're like, you know what? Run it again. Run it again. Because our identity is block it up, and Nabers is going to beat you. And Daniel Jones is going to get him the football. That's the identity of the team. The identity of the team is the passing game. The identity of the team is getting the ball to this all-world talent. It's the identity of the team. And for me, that works so much better in today's NFL. And it clearly works so much better for Daniel Jones than the identity of the team being hand the ball off to Saquon Barkley. It just does. It just does. And I'm not saying he's more talented than Saquon Barkley or he's better at his job than Saquon Barkley's at his job. He's played three games. The last caller said he wanted to say he's better than Odell Beckham. He didn't get around to saying it, but it's too early to say that too. Beckham was incredible. A little bit of a different style, obviously the one-handed catch or whatever, but like he would break slants. Like I still want to see that. Let's see the yards after catch before I just tell him he's better than Odell Beckham Jr. is. But right now, he looks like he is going to be a force. And right now, already three games in, that's the identity of the team. We're going to find out what they are defensively because sometimes I don't know if now you're going to see a blitz-heavy team. I don't know I wouldn't be surprised if Bowen goes back to his old strategy or changes things up. I think they just felt like the Browns and that offensive line, they wanted to make sure they created pressure for Watson, who struggles under pressure. But I'm not sure what the defensive identity is right now other than the front four. And hopefully the edge rushers and Sexy Dexy. But offensively, we're going to get the ball to Malik Nabers. That's the identity of the team. We're going to throw the ball down the field. We're going to trust our playmakers to make plays in the passing game. And that's what the... And now, whether I think Daniel Jones is capable of it or not, and we'll find out. When you pay him, this is what I've been screaming. When you pay the quarterback $40 million, when you've already given him a second contract, when it's year six, that has to be the identity. It has to be the identity. It has to be. And for the first time, it feels like maybe that identity can function. Sonny in Long Island. What's up, Sonny?
Hey, C-Mac.
What's up, brother?
I just want to say that I love your show and I listen all the time.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I got a question, though, about the Giants, the way you're talking about them. I get it. They won the game earlier. And, I mean, you're talking about the identity of the team. Mm-hmm. I mean, they beat the Massage Deviant today in Cleveland.
Right.
Which is Watson or whatever. What do you think they're going to do next week versus Dallas?
I mean, yeah, I mean, I'm not uber confident. I got to see more. I'm not suddenly going to say like that. Yeah, I mean, I'm not.
I get it. He did. It was a great play in the third quarter, and he missed them. And
yeah,
you should go back to him. And okay, Neighbors looks like a really, really good player. But as a Giants fan, I got to be honest.
Yeah,
I mean, there's nothing here that I can take as a. Okay, this is what we're going to hang our hat on. I'm looking at a miserable season for the most part. Yeah. I don't think they're going to win a lot of games, and I think everyone is probably gone, probably the coach.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it's the coach's fault. I like Dable a lot.
Right.
I think the guy is really good. He actually went to the playoffs and won a game. With the Giants and all of these things,
here's my point with like what you're saying, and specifically about like what I'm supposed like, I can't just continue like I still have to talk about what we saw, and what we saw was a promising victory. I mean, I understand that you don't have confidence in this team. You think everyone's going to be gone. They're going to lose a bunch. I don't think you're necessarily wrong. And I certainly don't think we've seen enough yesterday that makes me think that that's no longer on the table, what we all thought. Like, I still think, like, are they making the playoffs? No, I don't think they are. Are they a very good team? No.
We got to talk about the game.
And you got to talk about what we saw. And what we saw was they'd be a positive start to maybe, hopefully, changing our opinion on the team. Like, should we all just be the guy from? Should we all be Randy Quaid from Major League 2? Should we just all be like, oh, you know, like I was mad when they lost. They won. I feel better. And we saw positive things. So let's talk about the positive things for a minute. We'll get to the Dallas game. The Dallas game's coming up on Thursday. Do I think that they're suddenly good enough to turn around and beat Dallas? No. Is it impossible? Dallas isn't playing very well right now. Like that's just, you know, Dallas is, I know they had a rousing comeback in the second half and late in the game, and the freaking Baltimore Ravens are just so prone to these late, I thought they were going to do it again. Onside kick, it's just amazing. But their defense right now is not very good. And for a team that plays well in that building, got embarrassed the last 2 weeks. Now, they're going to be pissed off coming to MetLife Stadium, and they own the Giants, make no mistake. So in no way, shape, or form am I telling you Daniel Jones has figured it out. Malik Nabers is so good, the Giants can't lose. And this head coach and the defensive coordinator are so chameleon-like and so in unbelievable at their jobs that they're going to come up with a game plan to just run the Cowboys out of the building. Like, that's what happened yesterday. Yesterday, the defensive coordinator came up with a great game plan and changed his style of play to suit the matchup and to suit his roster. And the offensive game plan was excellent. The second half, they played a little scared, or they didn't want to attack as much. They were afraid of making the mistake because they thought like they had a handle on it defensively. So I understand that. But early on, after that initial touchdown and after the pick is wiped away, from that moment on, they played really good offensive football. And Malik Nabers is a beast and super talented. And they saved their season with a well-played football game. So if you'd rather me just going, oh, none of it matters because they aren't very good, I could do that. Because I think there's some truth to it. I'm not anywhere near, let me be clear about this because I feel like there's a misconception on tanking, or at least most of us, at least me, let me just speak for me. I do believe the Giants ultimately probably aren't going to make the playoffs. I do believe they're a flawed team with a flawed roster and a flawed quarterback still. And I just don't think they're good enough to make the postseason or do any significant winning. But I've been wrong before. And you cannot. Like, I'm sorry. You want to lose once you're 0-6? You want to start losing once the season is really over? Like, I know I screamed the season was over after 0-2, and I still sort of believe that. But at 1-2, how could you possibly just go into, oh, they're better off just losing, this thing is a mess. Like, you can't do it now. You've got to be out there rooting for victories. The season is still there. They can beat the Cowboys on Thursday. I don't know if they will, and what are they? I would guess maybe a 5, I haven't looked ahead, maybe a 5-point underdog heading into the game at home just because of the history. Of course, now I got to put in what state I'm betting from. Like, why do you have to? Like, I've done this a million times. Can I just log into the damn thing? 4.5. All right, so I was right there. The Cowboys are going to be a 4.5-point favorite on the road. That's touchdown neutral site. The Cowboys are a better football team, and the Cowboys have kicked the crap out of the Giants for years, along with the Eagles. It's their favorite thing to do. Do I think suddenly we're going to see enough from Neighbors and Jones and this defense and offense where I feel confident heading into a game against the Cowboys? No. No. But that doesn't change the fact they dominated a football game. That you could argue they've dominated the last 2 football games. And Daniel Jones has looked very good. And this offense has looked pretty good. And he's thrown multiple touchdown passes in back-to-back weeks. I wasn't sure we would ever see that again. And I love the mentality. And I think to be a good football team, you have to establish a culture. You have to establish what you are, an identity. And I think right now Jones and Neighbors are the identity. And that's so much more positive than Barkley being the identity. It just is. It just is. And so we'll find out what they are. They've got another week, another opportunity on Thursday. And I like that it's Thursday. Let's get right back out there. Let's get right back out there. Let them, they got a million things to work on in Dallas. They played a miserable first half against Baltimore after getting absolutely throttled by the Saints. They've lost 2 consecutive games in a building that they hadn't lost in 2 years. They're licking their wounds, and they got a lot to work on, and then come on a short week and travel to New York. Giants are in a good spot here. I know the Cowboys are probably angry, but I think it's probably a decent spot for the Giants. Off of the way they played, the confidence they're building here. This will be a very telling game. If this game looks like, and let's be, we all know it. We can find out right now, next season, next week, will be whether or not the Giants have a season. Because if they go 1-3 and next and Thursday looks like what typical Giant Cowboy games look like, right? If this game is 21-3 at the half, if Drew Lock is in there handing the ball off in the fourth quarter of a blowout, season's over. Season's over. This would be a real telling game about where the Giants are. Step one was the first win of the year. Step one was figuring out a way to win a football game. And they did it. And they looked pretty good doing it. And it was nice to see a superstar player make superstar plays, and you feel like that can be something. Because he is outrageously good. Right, what Rami just sent me the text from Schefter. Malik Neighbors is the first player in NFL history with at least 20 receptions and 3 touchdown passes in the first 3 games of his career. Neighbors has 23 catches. They're tied with Anquan Boldin, 23 receptions in 2003. So, I mean, this guy, that's the first player in NFL history to have more than 20 receptions and 3 touchdowns in his first 3 games. I mean, he's on another world right now. And Daniel Jones and him have already had this great comfortability. And I think that's so important for Daniel Jones, who has trouble reading defenses, going through his progressions. He doesn't have to think. He doesn't have to think. And hopefully that will help him think, if you know what I'm catching. If you know what I'm saying. 888-808-1019. We'll get to the Mets next hour, because the Mets did have one hell of a victory. And what they did against Philadelphia and how they pitched, and specifically this game, the bullpen, the closer, getting 4 outs the night before, 6 outs last night. I mean, the pitching of the New York Mets, and we'll have the line, we have the rotation set for the 3 games in Atlanta. And right now the Mets have an opportunity to go into Atlanta and end their season and move on to the postseason and celebrate in Atlanta, in their building. Like, think of a better way to end this year. A year that started much maligned. A year that started with minimal expectations. Presented to you by the owner of the team, who started trying to temper your enthusiasm all the way back at the trade deadline last year. Yes, they fed you the line of, you know, trying to compete well, rebuilding, but you know exactly what they were telling you. We're not going to be very good. It's what they told Scherzer. It's what they told Verlander. And then they start 0-5. Then they're 11 games under 500. They need team meetings to get it together. And since that point, since June 1st, they're the best team in baseball. And right now, a team that was building that record of the best team in baseball since June, doing it by pounding the opposition and scoring a ton of runs. And yes, I know they scored 10 runs 3 games in a row. They're doing this with their pitching. They win this game last night 2-1 against the Phillies and navigate that lineup with McGill, with Maton, with Buto, and with Diaz. And this Met team has an opportunity to go into Atlanta, end their season, and celebrate a playoff berth in that building. I mean, that's as good as it gets for Met fans. It's as good as it gets. 888-808-1019. So do a little bit more Mets when we come back. Continue to take your Giant phone calls. We can get to the Yankees a little bit as they are running through the finish line. They are now a game away. The magic number for the division is 1. The magic number for the first place overall is 3. They absolutely just pound the Athletics. They're pitching pretty well as well, so we can do some Yankees, but really right now it's the Giants saving their season and the Mets on the brink of a special one. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.